Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first lesson is from Isaiah 12. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A reading from Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The word of the Lord. I may get in trouble for this. Decades ago, Dawn and I were singing in the church choir when this song of Isaiah came up in the readings. Jack Noble White wrote an anthem based on this. I don't know about you, but I carry scripture around with me in song, and this song sticks with me 30 years later. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. Isaiah had cause to look to the Lord. Isaiah had been called to a very difficult job. Things were not going well for Judah. Leaders were making bad decisions, and the people needed a new leader who would make things right, who would save them from their sins, from themselves. Tonight is a night of songs, a time for carrying God's song with us in melody. As warm and fuzzy as this time can be for most of us, there are among us those who grieve, those who are pained in mind, body, and spirit. These are the ones who need Isaiah's promise that surely it is God who saves us. What was true in the days of Isaiah was also true in the days when Herod was king. It was a trying time. The leaders, both political and religious, had made a mess of things. There was a way in which the people, especially everyday people, were trying to get by, and they needed promises of old to be fulfilled in the right here and the right now. And Matthew tells us that indeed Jesus was born. And his name, well, in Hebrew it would have been Yeshua, Joshua. In Greek it is Jesus. In the end, his name tells us his role, what he does by his very birth. You will name him Jesus, for he will save his people. So too today, we yearn for promises fulfilled, a Savior.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I am baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. Are you the Christ? In times when everything feels so out of control, so messy, so frightening, we start looking for leaders who will show the way. That, or we seek some way to escape. A colleague of mine noted that when the world gets too scary, the number of movies and television shows about aliens, you know, the extraterrestrial kind, the outer space kind, whether it be E.T. or some other, those shows start to multiply. Movies and shows about the undead and zombies all tend to arise in these kinds of times as well. I don't know his source, but if we flip through the programming on so many channels, the sheer number of stories of this ilk suggest that these are indeed terrifying times. In Luke, Jesus began his ministry. He went to his hometown, and at the synagogue, they handed him the scroll of Isaiah, and he read from the 61st chapter. What we hear tonight is reported as the scripture for what some call his inaugural address. People have expectations for the Messiah, for their Christ. Some expect a Superman who had powers beyond that of a natural human being. Great strength, steely skin, unimaginable speed. This Superman will conquer all that threatens to crush us, all that we fear. Some expect a military victor who will come and kick butt. This one could be a bully were he not exerting violence for good. This kind of Messiah is the champion of the people. We see them in so many dystopian novels. Some expect a charismatic leader who will draw his people to himself, a populist leader who will overcome all the things that are wrong by exerting a major house cleaning. The first century was not so different. In fact, when people saw a wild-eyed prophet wearing strange clothing and eating an ascetic diet, well, they had to wonder, who are you? Who indeed? Fortunately, John was clear about who he was and who he was not. No, John's role was to point to the one who is the Messiah, the Christ. When John had questions, Jesus had replied with Isaiah. So when we see these things, we know the Messiah is in our midst. Good news for the oppressed. The brokenhearted bound up. Liberty for captives. The year of the Lord's favor. Tonight we celebrate the promise that the Messiah has come to work all this in however unexpected ways. A reading from Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." The word of the Lord. Friends, this night is like so many times when the faithful of God gather. We talk about saviors and messiahs and lords as though they are normal, everyday words. On nights like tonight, we get a glimpse of just how weird church people talk. Certainly, there are cultures and situations and governments that more closely resemble the kinds of systems that would have people pledging fealty to a lord. But the United States of America is different. The founders consciously rejected having kings and lords and the like. They instituted a system that intended to serve all. While we can argue the finer points of just who those founders recognized as being among the all people, their legacy has been one that rejects the notion of monarchs as a ruling class. Given that reality, we do not easily recognize the political consequences of saying things like, "For unto us is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." In so many ways, these claims are treasonous. They assert that the king is not the one deserving greatest acclaim and allegiance. And if someone dared to say there is another king, well, it is the same as seeking to overthrow the existing order. This is the promise made to Mary by the angel Gabriel. Your son, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born by you, will receive the throne of David. This child will be Lord of all. Just to make it plain, the child will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. There it is. Political speech right there in the Bible. The telling of Jesus' story is fraught with danger. It is tantamount to insurrection. Caesar is a son of God. To say that this child, Jesus, is the Son of God asserts his primacy even over Caesar. After Mary had heard the words of Gabriel, she traveled to Elizabeth and later sang a song about God turning everything upside down. The lowly will be lifted up. The mighty will be cast down. The hungry will be fed. The rich sent away empty. Over and over again, there is this promise. The reign of God has come near and changed everything. Tonight, as we gather and use all this weird language as though it is normal, too many of us recognize that God's reign is here, but not quite fully realized. There are still way too many who go hungry, way too many who struggle to find a place to live, way too many who cannot make a livable wage, way too many who are being crushed by systems that are in place. You see, what we come to celebrate is both the incredibly warm and wonderful glow of God living among us, taking on human flesh, being born a vulnerable child, and the truth that this child represents a danger to status quo. The Christ does not come in expected ways as a warlord, but rather as the one who announces, then enacts a new kind of kingdom where the least are the greatest, the last are first, the little ones are lifted up. Let us look through the fuzzy focus of our nostalgic hope for the clear promise of renewal and new life in this child whose birth we celebrate today. Indeed, let us dare to serve this Lord, this wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.